Chavav in Psachim, the sugya of the Efsher V'loy Mechavin. In other words, if you have the ability to avoid doing something that's Usser, but when it happens, you're not really intending for that Isser to get the benefit of the Isser. So the question is, Machlekes Abaya and Rava, whether it's going to be Mutter. According to Abaya, it's going to be Mutter, and according to Rava, it's going to be Usser. Right. So the Gemara was till now was just discussing what the case was. Now the Gemara is going to bring some examples of when it's mutter and when it's aser. Okay, so we're going to start on Chavav Amar Al, three lines from the top. Amar Rabbi, Mina Amin Allah. How do I know that it's going to be mutter? The Tanya we learned in the Brisa. Amru Allah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. They said about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shehay Yoshe Betziloi Shel Hechel B'Darish Kohayen Kulei. That when before the Yom Tovim, when he had a big crowd, he would sit in the area next to the wall of the Beis HaMikdash, so that they would get the shade from the Beis HaMikdash, and that way he would accommodate everybody, because it was the only open area that was large enough for everybody to hear the shir. Here, this is considered not possible, because again, as we said, this is the only area that he could have done this. But the whole point of sitting over there purposely was so that he'd be blocked by the shadow of the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, so he's having kavana of the shari, and this was considered mutter. So we see that when you don't have, when even if you have kavana, since it's not, there's no other alternative, it's going to be considered mutter. The Rava. Now, what's Rava going to say that he says that normally this would be aser? Amar shani hechel dulatoicha also. He says no. Over here, the problem, there really was nothing aser about what he was doing, because the walls of the hechel were made for to protect what was inside, not for whatever benefit you get from being on the outside. So therefore, there's nothing aser about that. So that's why it was okay. Amar Rava, mina amina lo. So now Rava says, now how do I know that it's going to be aser? Where do I get this from? Because we had a very interesting case. Lulin, hayu psuchin ba'aliyah space kachay akachim. That there were these little cavities there were these rooms inside the Beis HaMikdash that they would go into in order to be able to fix up the Beis HaMikdash when it needed to be redone. So when the people had to fix up the Beis HaMikdash, shebehen mishal shalem et ha'umnin b'tevois. And they would lower down these people in boxes so that they can fix the walls of the Kodesh Kodashim. Kadesh lo yizonu enayim ebeis kachay ha'kachim. The reason why they lowered them down into these boxes is so that the boxes were shaped so that they were completely blocked from the outside, and the only thing you could see was the wall that you were working on. So, and only that was mutter, nothing else was mutter. Here it was impossible because you had to go into the Kodesh Kodashim to fix it. There was no other choice. And you're having a hana from the walls. You're having hana from the beauty of the Kodesh Kodashim. And the Osir, and there it's Osir, so because of the fact that they created these boxes that you can't have any Hana, is a Raya that it's Osir, even though there was no alternative. So that's Rava's Raya. But Tisbro, but the Gemara says, let us understand this case. Why would it be Osir over here? Rav Shuv ben Levi says, Rav Pasi says, Nishum Barkaf, in the name of Barkaf, Kolum Arav Reich, Ein Behem Nishum Le'ilo. When you're dealing with certain things like noise, the sound, and what it looks like, the mare, and reich, and the smell, ain't behem shem me'ilah. There's no din of me'ilah over here. So there's no real isser anyway that we're trying to avoid. Ela, mala asa b'beis kodesh kodashim. The reason why they did it this way is because of the holiness of the kodesh kodashim. They used to do it so that the people shouldn't take advantage of the kodesh kodashim. But really, there was no isser, and Rava doesn't have a right, because again, there is no isser here at all, and it was just a chumra that they did to protect the holiness of the kodesh kodashim. Ikadami, there's another version of this Gemara that Rava is trying to bring a raya. Amar Rava, mina amina lo. How do I know that, again, that it's usher, even though you had no alternative? The Tanya, we learned in the Brisa, Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rav Shimon ben Levi. Rav Shimon ben Pazi taught us, Mishum Bar Kapha, in the name of Bar Kapha, Kol Umar Avarech, Ein Behem Mishum Me'ilo. There is no Me'ilo. Me'ilo means if you steal something from the Beis HaMikdash, from the Kachim, you have to repay it and bring a carbon and so forth. So if you have Hanoah by smell or sight, or your hearing, so you don't have to bring a carbon me'ila, that's not considered stealing from kachim. Now, the diak is me'ila hu deleka ha yisura ikka. It's only because there's no me'ila. There's no concept of bringing the carbon, the special isser of me'ila. But the fact is that it's still asr. So here you have My love, it must be to those people that are standing inside the Beis HaMikdash where there is an Isser, and there, and we see that even though there's no Din HaMe'ilah, there still is an Isser, even though it's not possible for you to any alternative. The Kainim have to go inside, you have to bring your Karban, become a Chavin, and you're having Kavana to enjoy the, what the Kachim has to provide. So we see that even though it's not possible, normally it's Usser to have Hana or to have the Kavana that to benefit from the thing that's Usser. So the Gemara says, really the reason, the case over here is that we say that there's no me'ilo is because we're talking about the people that are outside the Beis HaMikdash, and that as long as they don't do anything usher, there is nothing usher whatsoever. So your diyuk that you're saying that there's no din me'ilo, and you were saying, yeah, but there's isser, is talking about those people that are outside the Beis HaMikdash, and there is no isser here whatsoever. And that's why there's no isser, and according to the Gemara over here, doesn't have a riot. Okay, so that's the Machlokes Abaye and Rava. Now, Gufo, let's bring this concept over here where this applies. Amar Rav Shem ben Pazi, Amar Rav Shuvan Levi Mishum Bar Kappa, in the name of Bar Kappa, Kol Amar Vareich Ein Behem Mishum Me'ilo. So there's no din of Me'ilo when you're dealing with these with sight, hearing, or smell. So the Gemara asks, Vareich Ein Behem Mishum Me'ilo, is there really no din of Me'ilo by smelling? V'hatanya Hamafate Mesakateres. If somebody builds the keteris, you know, the keteris is a special carbon that they brought in the Beis HaMikdash, and there's a special issur in the Torah that you're not allowed to reproduce it. However, if you're making it with Islam Eidba, the reason why you're doing it is only to learn how to make the keteris so that you can eventually donate it to the Beis HaMikdash, or you're actually making it for the Tzibur, there's nothing usur about that. However, l'ariach ba chayiv. So to smell it is if you're making it for the purposes of smelling it, you're going to be chayav. Hamariach ba pater, and somebody who does smell it after it's made is going to be pater. But we see that the fact is that there's a problem, that there's an isser in making it for the purposes of smelling. Now, if reach ein behem mishum me'ilah, why should there be an isser over here? Hamariach ba pater ella shabol, but there is a din of me'ilah. So we see beferish that smelling it is there is a din of me'ilah even by smelling the keteris. You're right. When it comes to noise, music, or something like that, and the way it looks, there really is no din me'ilah l'fisha ein behen mamish, because there's nothing physical, there's nothing actual about it. It just exists. Reach la'acha shetala tumrasa ein bo mishum me'ilah. Now reach also smell also. Sometimes it's mutter and sometimes it's also. That's why it can be included in the category. So what does it depend on? It depends on whether you completed doing the avodah that you needed to do. For example, lachatalis from Murasa specifically means the kateris, after you brought them as a carbon, the smoke used to rise up to the shemayim. So that smoke, it was already done. It already did its avodah, so then if you smell it, it's not going to be a problem. But before the avodah was accomplished, so in other words, when you just built the kateris and you still haven't used them yet, then there is a din of me'ilah. So ein behem mishum me'ilah. Hoyel benasas mitzvasa, since they already did what they were supposed to do, so they were used to the Beis HaMikdash. So once they're used already, it's not going to be a problem. So Gemara says, "Lamer the kol hechad benasas mitzvasa ein behem mishum me'ilah." So you're telling me, oh, okay, what it depends on is whether or not you finished, accomplished what it needed, what was needed in the Beis HaMikdash. Then there's no more me'ilah. Bahare truma is hadeshen. Denasa mitzvasoi. Truma hadeshen is every day in the Beis HaMikdash. They would go onto the mizbeach and they would take the ashes and they would put it down in a place next to the Beis HaMikdash, and that was called truma hadeshen. And there, once you put it down in its spot, it was considered you did what you had to do. You took the ashes, you put it down, you finished doing the avodah. However, v'yesh bo mishum me'ilah, but there is a din of me'ilah even after you put it down. The chsiv, because the pasuk says v'savo etel mizbeach, you should put it. It should be placed next to the mizbeach. And we darshan shelo yafazer, so that it shouldn't spread out. It should be in a special place. The samu, and also it should be placed there shelo yehenim. You shouldn't have any hanah from it. So we see that even though you finished doing what you were supposed to do, you took the Trumas Hadesh and you put it where you're supposed to do, there was still a din of me'ilah. And according to what we said before, that once you accomplished doing the avodah, there is no din of me'ilah anymore. The Gemara answers, "Mishum dehavei Trumas Hadesh and ubigdei kahuna shnei ksuvim haboyin ke'echod." Because this din that you're not allowed to have anah from it is unique in the Torah. It's mentioned in two places. And the rule is, and it's mentioned by Trumas Hadeshen, as we mentioned, and it's also mentioned by the Big Day Kahuna after the Kohen Gadol uses his begadim on Yom Kippur, he can't use them afterwards. And the rule is, that anytime you have two psukim that are there for the purpose of teaching the same halacha, we darshan that means it's only related to those two psukim, because otherwise why did the Torah have to repeat it? Must be, it's repeated specifically where it applies, and it doesn't apply anywhere else. And that's why, once the avodah is done, it's completely mutter. Over here, the reason why it's usher is because the Torah specifically said in this case that it's usher, and it specifically said so in the case of Big Day Kahuna as well. What are the two cases? Trumas Hadesh and Hadamar. So Trumas Hadesh, we just said, even after you put it down next to the Mizbeach, it's still usher. Big Day Kahuna, where do we see that there's an isser to have Hanoah from the Big Day Kahuna even after the avodah is done? Because the pasuk says, Vanichem Sham, that after the Kohen Gadol takes off his begadim the last time, he leaves them there. The Lamed, that teaches us, Sheteunam Geniza, that they have to be put away and they can't be used for anything else. So that's the second pasuk that the Torah says, even after you accomplished what you needed to accomplish, it's still usur. So the Gemara says like this, Heni Chalarabbanon to Amri Malami, Sheteunam Geniza. So it happens to be a machlik is what this pasuk is coming to teach us. According to the Rabbanon that tell us that it needs Geniza, that you need to put it away, so then that proves the point that you can't have Hanoah specifically by the Big Day Kahuna. Rav Deisa argues on what the Pshat in the Gemara on the Hadadash in this pasuk is. Rav Deisa argues the Amar Avo Ruuyin Hain Lekoyin Hedyot that they're now can't be used for a Kohen Gadol again, but they could be used for a Kohen Hedyot, the begadim, the white begadim that are the same as the Kohen Hedyot. So according to him, there really is no place in the Torah that after the Avodah is done, it's really usher, because in that case, it really continues to be mutter. However, how does he dash in the pasuk? So what does he do with the pasuk? The pasuk says you should leave them there. So we dash in shalei shtamish behem b'yom kippurim acher. We just say to mean that the Kohen Gadol can't go ahead and use it a second time next year. So according to that sheet of Ma'ayik l'meimah, now what are you going to say? Because now it's only Trumas Hadeshen is the only place in the Torah that teaches us that there's an Isser. The Isser continues even after the Avodah is done. And if so, it should apply to all Isurim. And therefore there should be a Din Me'ilah even after the Avodah is completed. And my answer is, even so, Mishum Dehavi Trumas Hadeshen Ve'egla Aruf Hashnei Ksuvim Habayim Ke'echad. No, there really are two Psukim in the Torah that tell us this concept specifically over there, that they continue to be Isser even after the Avodah is done by the Trumas Hadeshen. And Egla Arufa is, right, if you find somebody who died and you don't know which city the murderer is from, you take this eagle and this calf and you kill it, and that becomes usher b'hanah also even after the avodah is done. And the rule is b'chol shnei ksuvim habayim ke'echad eim elam din. So it also, since there are two psukim that teach us the same thing, so it doesn't apply anywhere else. Now again, the problem is hinei chol mandi yomar eim elam din. So this is actually an interesting machlokes. There is only one. That's according to the majority shita that says that if you have two psukim, you can't use those two psukim to teach us anything else. But there is a mandiyama that says even if you have two psukim, you could still apply that rule someplace else. Ma'ik lemeima. But so according to that mandiyama, we have two psukim. What's the problem? We should use that yisoid to teach us in other places that it continues to be usur. So the Gemara says, "Treim Yusuf Sivi." Over here, specifically by Trumas Hadeshen and by Egla Arufa, there are really two miyutim that say specifically that this rule of being usur even after its use remains usur. That say specifically in those cases that it applies to nowhere else. Why? Because it's Siv V'Samu, that over there by Trumas Hadeshen says you should place it over there and it stays over there forever. The Siv, and it also says Ha Arufa, that the Arufa is going to be usur. But in the Hanami, normally under normal circumstances, it's not going to be usur anymore, and that's why we hold that once the avodah is done, it's not going to be usur anymore. Okay, Tashima. Now we're going to go back to what we were discussing before, when you didn't have another option, but you had kavana whether or not it's usur or not. So Tashima, come and let's hear a raya. Says Hanicha L'Rifka. This is talking about the Egla Arufa, that you're not allowed to, you have to use a calf that was never used for avodah. But let's say you took this calf and you tied it up into a yoke, Vidasha. So in other words, you kept it together with the other animals, and therefore, as a result, it walked over some grain and it threshed the grain. So the halacha is ksheira still remains kosher for using it as an egla arufa, because that's not considered avodah because it happened by accident. However, if you brought it into the barn because you wanted it to nurse, and also it also inadvertently did some threshing, psula, so it's going to be possible. Now, what do we see from this halacha? become a chavin. Now here's a classic example where you have no other choice. You have to bring it in to nurse, and it, by accident, so you're getting the benefit of the fact that it's threshing, and we see that it becomes puzzle. So we see that that's considered a problem. That even though you didn't have intention, you had no choice. The fact is that it did the avodah, so that makes it considered doing the avodah. So it's considered aser. And when it answers, so you have a raya. When it answers, shani hasam dechsev. Over there, it's a special pasuk. It says in the pasuk, Hashem lo yoved ba. We call mokum that it didn't happen no matter what. So here, what are you going to do? There was the Torah itself says that, yeah, we don't care how it happened, it's going to be usher anyway. So ihachi afilu reishanami. If so, that you're saying that no matter what happened, even if it's out of your control, it's going to be usher. So then in the first case where you just brought it into the barn and keep it together with the other animals, so why is that first case mutter? According to what you just said, that if it happens no matter what, it's going to be usher. Even in that case, it should be usher. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's true. However, that case when you really had no choice, it really is not considered doing anything. It's similar to the following case that we're about to bring, which is actually talking about a paraduma. But paraduma and egla rufa have a lot of similar halachas. So it says by paraduma, shachin aleha oif sheira. If you know, a lot of times the animals have little birds that sit on their back and eat off the little bugs off their back and so on and so forth. So just because a bird sat on its back is not going to be considered doing avoida. It's not going to be osur because of that. That's not considered avoida. However, if it mated with a male, so then already this paraduma is not considered kasher l'avoida because that's already considered used. Now, my time, what's the difference? I'm a Rav Papa, because Rav Papa dashes like this. If the pasuk had said avad, it used the word avad, that means that you did it on purpose. Vikarin and avad, and we would read the pasuk to say that you did it on purpose. That's the only time it's osur. So we would darshan ad the ovid bay ihu. So we would say it's only usher if you did it intentionally. You did it. That's when it's usher. Now also iksiv oyved. If it says that it happened, the karina oyved, and we would read it in the Torah. When we read it in the Torah, we'd say oyved that it happened. Memela apil memela nami. But we would say even if it happened by accident, okay, what could you do? It's always going to be usher. However, the drasha is hashad iksiv ovad. The way it's written in the Torah, it only has the letters ayin bays dalid. It's written avad, the karina oyved, but it's a krinaksiv, but we read it to say oyved that it happened in the mela. So we darshan the following oyved dumya de avad, that when it happens, even when it happens by accident, it has to be the same way as if you did it on purpose, that you intended for it. Ma avad de nichale, just like when you did it on purpose, you wanted it. So af oyved de nichale, so too when it happens in the mela, it has to be something that you wanted. So in the case when the bird is on its back, you don't really care about that, so that's not considered a problem for you. But when you brought a zachar on it, that's something that has benefit for you, so therefore that's when you want it, so then it's going to be osur. So again, we don't have a raya to the regular case of when efsher, the loy mechavin, we don't have a raya over here, because over here it's a specific zeir sakosiv that says that it's only, it doesn't, even if it happens by accident, it's in, and it's not your fault, it's still going to be osur. So we bring another raya. Tashema aveda, let's say you find something, and the object itself needs to be aired out every once in a while. So the halacha is lo yishtechena lo yagabe mita lo yagabe megoid litzarkoi. You're not allowed to take it out. Let's say it's something that you can easily display. You're not allowed to take it out for purposes of displaying it for your benefit, that people should be impressed. Avoshoitcha litzarkoi, but you're allowed to take out the aveda for its purpose. So it needs to be aired out every once in a while. Agabe mita, agabe megoid, whether it's on top of the bed or on top of a bookcase or something like that. So you're allowed to take it out for its purposes. However, here's the halacha. Let's say you have guests. Now, if you have guests there, you're not allowed to take it out no matter what. Whether it's for its purpose or whether it's for your own purposes. So we see that over here it's loyafshir because you have to take it out. If it doesn't get aired out, it's going to get ruined. And even so, because you're having hanah from it, you're not allowed to do it. So we see here it's loyafshir, become a chavin, and it's also. Gemara answers, Shani Hasam, over there by the Aveda, it's different, the Kali law. Because if you take it out when there are guests there, it's going to end up getting destroyed. Imisham Ein Abisha, either because people are going to look at it and Ein Hara is going to ruin it, or Imisham Gandhi, or because you don't know who these guests are, you're going to take it out and the next thing you know, it's going to disappear. So therefore, people are going to steal it. So therefore, that's why you're not allowed to take it out. It's for its own protection that you're not allowed to take it out. But if it wasn't a problem of the object getting ruined, and a chanami, even though you were having benefit from it, it would be okay because you had no alternative. And so we don't have a raya. Tashma, the last raya. Moichrei ksus, so the people who used to sell cloth and garments and so forth, moichrei kedarkon, you're allowed to sell them the normal way, meaning you're allowed to even put them on your shoulder and sell them the normal way. As long as you're not in the summertime wearing the clothing in order to protect you from the heat, and in the wintertime to protect you from the rain. The problem is that there might be klayim, and you're wearing klayim. And we see that it's mutter as long as you didn't have kavanah. The hatsnuin, but the people who were really makbid, mafshilin la'achareim, wouldn't put them on a shoulder, they would put it behind them on a stick, the makal on a stick. And so that they didn't chas v'shalom wear klayim even by accident. Now, this is the case, v'ha'ahacha de'efsher. This was the case, this goes really back into the first way we explained the machlekes abayin rava. Here there were other alternatives, meaning you didn't have to wear it on your shoulder, you could have worn it behind your back like the tznuin did. And I could have done like the careful people do. And even so, when I don't have kavana, right, I wear it on my shoulder, shari, it's going to be mutter. So we see, Betheirish, that even if I have alternatives, if I don't have kavana at the time, it's going to be mutter. So tiyufta l'man demasni l'shlekama derava tiyufta. So this slugs up. The first way we explained the machlekes Abaye and Rava was in a scenario where even if I had alternatives, if I didn't have kavana, it's going to be mutter. So we see, and Rava held even in that case, it's going to be yasser. So we see Beferish over here that it's going to be mutter if I didn't have kavana. So it slugs up Rava, and this is a raya to Abaya. Okay, the next line of the Gemara is based on the Mishnah Loyasik that you're not allowed to have if something orla is also, you're not allowed to burn it. You're not allowed to have hanah from it. So Tanur Rabbanan, Tanur shehesikoy beklipay orla. Let's say you have an oven that is being formed, and you're using the shells of the orla, meaning you're not using the fruit itself, you're using the shells, the covering of the orla, and that also is considered part of the just as usur as the orla itself, as the fruit itself. Or another example is something you're using straw that was made with klayakarim, it's klayim, it's mamish usur. So, and you use that to heat up your oven. So chadash, if it's a brand new oven, meaning that this fire was the first fire you ever lit in the oven, and this is what solidifies the oven, you touch. So you have to break the oven, because the oven was created with something that's asr b'hana. Yashon, if it's an old one, so the oven was already created, and now the question is whether I could use it to bake something in it, yutan, so I have to just let it get cold, and get no and that way I make sure I have no benefit from the thing that was asr b'hana. That's talking about creating the oven itself. What about if you actually lit the fire there and you baked some bread in it? So now the question is, what is the halacha with that bread? So Rebbe Omer Hapas Asura. So Rebbe says, what are you talking about? It's asur because you used the thing that was asur bahano, you got the benefit from it, and now it should be, so therefore it should be asur. The Chacham say it's going to be mutter because, as we're going to explain in the Gemara, because there are other factors over here that even though part of what made the bread was the fact that it used the fire that was asr, but there were other contributing factors that were mutter. And when you have contributing factors that are mutter, it's going to end up as a result in the combination of things that's going to be mutter. That's what we'll get to there in a minute. Bishla, al-gabi gacholim. Let's say you cook something using coals, meaning that the fire already was extinguished, but there were still hot coals, burning hot coals, and that heat is what you're using to make your bread. Divrei HaKol, mutter is going to be mutter because now that's not the iser is gone. The straw was burnt up, and now it just happens to be some lingering coals over there. Simmering coals are not what the iser itself is, and therefore it's not going to be a problem to use that heat. Now, so those are the basics. Now the Gemara says, V'hatanya ben chodesh ben yashan yutzan. We said before that if you have a brand new oven, you have to break it. Here, the Brisa says that if it's brand new, you also let it be cold. So it's not going to, you just let it cool off, and it's not going to be a problem, even though that's what created the oven. So it's a contradiction. So the Gemara answers like Hasha, HaRebi, V'ha Rabban, it's Machlekes Rebi and the Rabban, whether or not it's going to be mutter. That Rebi is going to hold its mutter, and the Rabban are going to hold that it's aser. So the problem is, Eimad Hashem Aslay, the Rebi, when did Rebi say that it's going to be aser? Mishum D'yeh Shvach Eitzen B'Pas. That's talking about Rebbe said it was asr, and the Rabbanan say it's mutter. So when did Rebbe say that it's asr? That's because when you made the bread, the fire itself, the wood that was asr itself was in the oven, and that was giving off the heat, and that's why it's going to be asr. However, over here, Zevzer Gerim, Mishamaslay, do we ever see that Rebbe holds that if you have other factors that are contributing to whether to make it mutter that Rebbe, that the new oven, because the new oven itself you're not going to eat, you're just going to use that new oven so that eventually you're going to bake something in it, and that thing, the question is whether that thing is going to be mutter. So where do we ever see that Rebbe holds that even after the wood that was usser is gone, that it's going to continue to be usser? Ella loikasha. So you're right. So it's not Rebbe Shita loikasha. Ha Rebbe Elazar ha Rabbanan. Now it's really going. It's really machlekes Rebbe Eliezer and the Rabbanan. That and Rebbe Eliezer holds that even when you have two factors that are contributing, it's still going to be usser. So the Gemara says, "Hi Rebbe Eliezer, which Rebbe Eliezer is this that says two factors are usser? Elam and Rebbe Eliezer this are. If it's Rebbe Eliezer of yeast that were ditznan, we learned in the Mishnah. So or shel chulin, the shel truma. Let's say you have yeast partially made out of chulin, which is fine, and truma, which is the problem is that now the whole bread is going to be truma. Shenapul tachi, so they fell into your dough. Vein bezekede lahachmetz, but each one is not enough to actually make the bread rise. Vein bezekede lahachmetz, this half doesn't have enough to make it into to rise. Vein bezekede lahachmetz, and this one doesn't have enough to make it rise. When it's tapu, now the two pieces of yeast together, joined together, b'chimtzu, and they made it into chametz. So Rebbe Eliezer Oimer, achar achar anibo. So the Rebbe Eliezer says, I look at, since it's two halves, I look at the second half that went in, and whatever the second half is, if the second half is what's aser, it's going to be aser. The Chachamim Oimer mentioned up the iser lechatchila, whether the iser fell in first, mentioned up the iser lebesayif, or whether the iser the truma part fell in second, lo ilaman eina iser, it's not going to be aser because again he holds that there are two factors here. Achi yeba kadeva hachmetz, until the thing that was aser has enough in of itself to make it into chametz. Vam Rabaya, but here's where the raya is. Rabaya said, Vam Rabaya loyshanu elish shekadam b'tzila gatzah iser. Even according to Rabbi Eliezer, is only talking about where you took the. What happened was the first half fell in, you took it out, and then the second half, which is mutter, also fell in. That's when it's going to be okay. Avaloy kadam b'tzila gatzah iser. But if you didn't take out the first half, and now both of them are in there together, usser. It's going to be usser. Now, if you didn't take the first half out, that means you have both halves in together, and both of them are contributing. So almost, so what do we see? Zev is a goyim is usser. That's exactly the point, that when you have two factors contributing together, it's going to be usser. So we see that Rebbe Eliezer holds that when you have two factors together, it's going to be usser. Umimai. So the Gemara says, how do you know? How do you know that that's the riot? How do you know the time of the Rebbe Eliezer Kabaya? How do you know that the case is according to Abaya that said it's dafka because I took out the first half and that, and, but when I left them in, it's going to be usher? Dilma time of the Rebbe Eliezer, Mishum, Dachar, Achar, and Aniba. Maybe Rebbe Eliezer's svara has nothing to do with the fact that it's two factors. Maybe Rebbe Eliezer's fact, all he cares about is what put in second. Because the second one is what brought it over the threshold, and that's all I care about. Loishno kodem vasilik as a iser, loishno loikodem vasilik as a iser. It doesn't matter whether or not I took out the first half or not. It doesn't matter at all. Even if the first half is still there when the second half fell in, it'd still be mutter. Because all I care about is that the second half, which brought it over the threshold, is mutter. So, but if both of them were there at the same time, yeah, you'd have to admit that it's going to be mutter. Anyway, so we don't have a raya which that Rabbi Eliezer's shita yet is that if you have two factors together, one of them is mutter and one of them is usser, that together in the aggregate they contribute to make it usser. We don't really have a raya that shita is Rabbi Eliezer. We're going to bring a raya tomorrow, Meretz Hashem, that it is true. We'll prove that that's Rabbi Eliezer's shita. But from this brisa itself, we don't have a raya. Okay, we'll stop over here for now.